On Monday's front page, European leaders are trying to work out a deal to keep the euro intact. Voters in Russia aren't happy. The governing party of Prime Minister Vladimir Putin suffered surprisingly steep losses in parliamentary elections. And celebrating the Titanic by going to see it. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says European leaders are working overtime on a deal to save the euro. They hope to finish in time for a summit meeting in Brussels at the end of the week. Times reporter Stephen Erlanger says the deal will have elements aimed at protecting Italy and Spain and heading off future debt crises. The deal will also begin to change the structure of the eurozone. It will now have centralized oversight of national budgets. Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti won cabinet approval over the weekend for a new austerity plan. As the week goes on, investors will want to know if Monti's plan is detailed enough and if he can get it through Parliament. Voters in Russia went to the polls over the weekend. With 70% of the votes counted, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin's United Russia Party lost its two-thirds majority. It's barely clinging to 50%. The elections for Parliament turned into a referendum on United Russia and Putin's plan to remain in power. President Dmitry Medvedev called to congratulate leaders of the three parties that gained seats in Parliament. Medvedev indicated the results would lead to some sort of power sharing in the Kremlin. That's a major comedown from the two-thirds supermajority that United Russia has had. Also on Monday's front page, another look at a huge explosion that destroyed a major missile testing site in Iran a couple of weeks ago. Experts now say it was a setback for Iran's long-range missile program. Surveillance photos reportedly showed the Iranian base was a central testing center for advanced solid-fuel missiles. Iran could use them against Israel or the U.S. Republican Newt Gingrich is surging in the polls, but he's facing a big challenge. Monday's Times says he's scrambling to build the kind of organization that Mitt Romney already has. Romney volunteers have already gathered enough signatures to put him on ballots from Vermont to Alabama. Gingrich's campaign is only beginning to mobilize volunteers in those places. Gingrich has taken the lead in new polls in several early voting states. He was picking up Herman Cain supporters even before Cain suspended his campaign over the weekend. The anti-abortion movement is split over tactics. Times reporter Eric Ekholm says there's a rebellion among grassroots activists who want an all-out assault on Roe v. Wade. That was the 1973 Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. Many activists and evangelical Christian groups hope the Supreme Court is ready to reconsider it. The split in the anti-abortion movement has widened over the so-called heartbeat bill in Ohio. It would ban abortions once a heartbeat can be detected, usually 6 to 8 weeks into a pregnancy. Activists hope it will force a showdown. Times reporter William J. Broad describes the trip like this. Down, down, down you go for 2.5 hours in a tiny submersible, all the way to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, and all for a glimpse of the Titanic. The dive is part of a 2-week cruise that costs $60,000. Some fans of the Titanic say no price is too high, especially with the 100th anniversary of the sinking coming up in April. At least 80 people are expected to take the plunge down to the wreck. Inside Monday's Times, President Obama phoned Pakistan's president to offer condolences for the deaths of soldiers killed in NATO airstrikes on the Afghan border. But he stopped short of the formal apology Pakistan had been demanding. Monday's Business Day section says the Chinese government tried to quiet expectations that Beijing would step in and rescue Europe. Chinese officials said the government agencies that control China's financial reserves face restrictions on how they can use them. China has $3.2 trillion in bonds. Economic policymakers in Beijing are more opposed to helping out than Chinese diplomats have been. There was a record jump in carbon emissions last year. A new study says carbon dioxide from plants that burn fossil fuels surged 5.6% worldwide. In this country, emissions dropped 7% in the recession year of 2009, but rose just over 4% last year. The increases confirmed a trend that scientists fear will make it all but impossible to stop climate change in coming decades. College presidents are being paid more. A new study says 36 schools paid their presidents more than $1 million in 2009. The study by the Chronicle of Higher Education says the average college president's salary rose 2.8% to just under $295,000. At the top end of the scale, the president of Johns Hopkins University made $3.8 million. Many online book buyers shop around in stores first. Bookstores have suspected that for a long time. They call it showrooming. Now there's a survey that confirms it. The research firm Codex Group says 24% of people who bought a book online had gone showrooming first. Among Amazon customers, the number jumped to 39%. In London, there are long lines and scalpers for a Da Vinci exhibition. The show at the National Gallery has set off a ticket frenzy. Only 500 tickets are available each day. That's on top of the tickets that are sold in advance. The show focuses on Leonardo's years as court painter to the Duke of Milan in the 1480s and 1490s. The works in the show are so fragile they can't be shipped to other museums. The show closes in London on February 5th. That's our preview of Monday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.